Cool. Awesome. Let's just pray and then we'll receive the offering here. Jesus, we just thank you. I pray that as we're giving our first to you, the first day of the week, Jesus, we would give our first financially as well. And we would just trust you with our money. I know it's hard to trust anyone with our money, but I pray that we would trust you with our finances, Jesus, knowing that you can do way more with it than we could do with it, Jesus. I pray this all in your mighty, mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You guys want to hand those around? If Lloyd, you want to come up here and meet me up here? As those are being passed around, Lloyd's just going to take a few moments here and talk about some things. So go for it. You're on.
Hello. Just a couple of notes. Just a couple of notes.
Make sure you hold that real close.
Do you need this?
Yes.
I need this.
Need it.
I need this.
You're good. Oh, you're good. It's on. Yep, you're good. Yep.
Okay. I don't trust these things.
Looking good.
Just a couple of items in the re-entry service. First of all, the golf sign-ups have been, I've had some questions asked about that. So next week, Saturday, is the day of the tournament. So what we need is, we need the names of the participants. The team leaders should know now who's on their team. So I would like to have those names as soon as possible. Because it's a madhouse when you get up there and everybody's trying to sign up at once and you've got a line back to the wall and people going this way and that way and it's bad. So if we had the names, all that you have to do is really pay and move on. You'll be a lot more expedient. So if those team leaders in there now who know who their team is going to be, I would appreciate it if I could get the names before the tournament day. You can pay now or I'll pay later. We're not money. We just need to know. The most important thing, though, I wanted to talk about was actually brought up at Sunday school this morning. I thought that God must be speaking to me. Corporate prayer is what we would like to focus on. Most of many of you know Catholic Christian. She's had a problem with her health for, she said, like 10 years, and they cannot diagnose it, much less treat it. But she has a pain that she undergoes, and she has to go in at least once a month to get treatment for the pain, but there's no cure. What I would like to do is ask for corporate prayer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those in the body here now, if you would commit to praying for her until she is healed. Mm-hmm. The medics can't do it. She's gone through all kinds of medical treatments, and they can't find out what the problem is. God knows, mm-hmm. and he can heal it.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to see is hands raised for those with willing to pray for her until she is healed.
Yes. Yes, Jesus.
That's pretty much everybody. Pray, just keep praying. I mean, it might be another 10 years. God knows when he's going to do it. And you will do it.
Yeah.
I know you will. But to that same subject, until she is healed, he has to go for this treatment. I would like to, I have a handful of people signed up to volunteer to take her up there, drive her to her appointment. She can't drive because of her condition. So if I could get some volunteers, I would like a minimum of 15 people. And that way you would be assured of not having to drive her like twice a month. You would have maybe once a year perhaps. Perhaps 15 people. As many as I could get. I would appreciate it if you would contact me and sign up. I would sign up and call you when necessary, when she needs you. And that's the way that with four or five people that I have on hand now won't be worn out.
Yeah.
Going up twice a month. Sometimes she has to go up twice a month instead of once a month. And it makes it tough on a small group. So if you would, see me, call me on my phone, and volunteer, and I would certainly appreciate it, and she would appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lloyd. I love that. I love that everyone here is willing to pray. I think it's incredible. Not many people do it, and I love this place for that, that we're a church that prays for our body. It's awesome. Well, let's get started. We're going to be out pretty early, I think. Brian promised, but, you know, I got about 35 minutes or so that I'll be speaking to you, so bear with me. Feel free to shout me down whenever you like. You know, be like, hey, that's good preaching, Kyler. Oh, and by the way, my name, I wanted to say this because most of you think my name is Pastor Tyler. It is not. It is Pastor Kyler with a K. Just wanted to clear the air. And so, because I don't have the heart to correct you, so I've just let it go on. Or if you thought my name was Pastor Skyler, that's also wrong. It's Pastor Kyler. but just call me Kyler. That's fine, too. I'm not used to being called pastor yet. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself because most of you don't really know me. You've seen me sing, but I haven't talked to you much. We've been hanging out with the youth for, gosh, I don't know, a couple months now. And it's been awesome. It's been super fun. We went to camp last week, which actually I was going to show a video of that, but I totally forgot. So maybe we can show it next week and just see how much fun the kids had and see them worshiping Jesus and serving the community. It was super fun. But anyways, my name is Kyler, and I graduated from WF West, Chehalis. I'm just pretty local. I've never actually been out here before until I moved out here. I didn't even know this place really existed. So thank you for welcoming me. I didn't know. I'm in my own world, you know. I just graduated from Northwest University with my certificate of ministry leadership, and then I'm pursuing licensing right now, but it's quite the process, so I'm not a licensed pastor yet, so if you don't trust me now, then that's fine, I guess. I'll get back to you when I'm licensed and officially official. I have a wife, her name's Samantha. She's beautiful and amazing. She coordinated, yeah. Give her a hand. She's a great wife. She coordinated all of what happened at Blueberry Fest yesterday for our kids and the pancake feed, and it ran so smooth, and it was amazing. She's incredible, and we have an 11-month-old son who is with Grandma right now, so that Samantha could actually be here because he usually keeps her away from here because he's really crabby right now. So, but he's really cool. He's Julian. He likes to, every time we tell him to praise the Lord, he lifts both his hands up and goes, it's just like, it's the cutest thing. It's awesome. So that's where I'm at right now. And it's been incredible meeting all of you. And I can't wait to meet more of you and hang out with you guys. So thanks for allowing me to be here and actually showing up. Because I know it's intimidating when the youth pastor shows up because you never know what you're going to hear. So, just kidding. So we're going to be reading in the book of Matthew today. So if you have your Bibles, and we also have note sheets there for you that Samantha made because I'm not capable of making them. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Chapter 9. We're just going to read a couple of verses today, just a couple. But I really want to just discover what God was speaking to me. Well, I'm going to tell you what God was speaking to me through it, but just discover through this small portion of Scripture what Jesus is saying. So if you guys want to bow your heads and pray with me real quick, and then we'll dive in. Jesus, we love you. You're awesome. Thank you for who you are and the person that you are, Jesus. I pray that as we live our lives, we would look to you as our example, and that we would just try our best to live a life the way you lived your life, which is selfless and compassionate, full of mercy and grace, Jesus. We just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Matthew 9 through 13. This is when Jesus calls Matthew. So I'll just start reading. And Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. Verse 10, and as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." And we're just going to stay in this passage the whole time. So the first thing I want to take from this is that sinners and tax collectors were really, they were the bad guys. They were the disreputable sinners or notorious for sinning. And we see Jesus doing this incredible thing, which is reclining. Who likes to recline? I'm a recliner. I'm like on the recliner all the time. If the thing doesn't kick up, I get really mad. And, you know, I have to have my feet up. Jesus was reclining. Matthew does not say he was sitting, standing, or kneeling. No, he was reclining or sitting casually. And I believe that the Bible is completely God-inspired, and every single word is absolutely chosen by God, and every single word is intentional, divinely inspired for a reason. So why is Matthew so particular about the posture of Jesus? Why is he so particular with the posture of Jesus? It says that Jesus was reclining at the table, and the Pharisees were apparently outside watching. And we see Jesus reclining probably with his feet up on the table. And the bad guys, or the sinners, are doing the same thing. And they look relaxed too. So why are the Pharisees so frustrated with Jesus? Because posture is powerful. Posture is powerful. I'm actually going to grab one of these so I know where you're on your notes so I can guide you. Posture is powerful. For instance, any teacher of the Torah, when presenting the Torah, would be standing. They'd be standing, usually behind a pulpit, because when you taught the Torah, standing was a posture of authority or superiority. It's a posture a proper priest or pastor of the day would take. And Jesus comes claiming to be the living Torah or the fulfillment of the Torah and is presenting the Torah by reclining. Not standing behind a podium, but by kicking back and relaxing with the sinners he had in his company. And this is where the story seems to get worse, because now it seems Jesus is putting bad people at ease. Because now that he's reclining, the bad guys are reclining too. And by now you're probably thinking that the Pharisees probably aren't totally out to lunch. Because they are thinking to themselves as they stand in the street, this man claims to be the Messiah, the fulfillment of the written the fulfillment of all that is written in Scripture, and he is right now as a teacher, because keep in mind, Jesus wasn't just this rebellious man that showed up and was born and became our Savior. He was at what you would call a typical Jewish rabbi. Like, he went through all the training and all the teaching, studying Scripture for 33 years before he actually started his ministry. Or sorry, 30 years. 30? 33? That doesn't matter. He went through all of the training and everything that a Jewish rabbi would go through. So this is extremely, puts off the Pharisees, because he is presenting the Torah as being the living Torah. He's doing it by reclining as a teacher. He's not standing behind the podium. So he claims to be the fulfillment of all that is written in Scripture. And right now, as a teacher, he's reclining with the bad people, and they are too joining in with him. And and they think that because he is doing this with them, he is now identifying with them, or he's condoning their behavior. Because we see another aspect of this story. We always make the Pharisees and the Sadducees out to be such bad people, and yet, if we're being honest, we would look at Jesus the same way if we were there, especially if we lived in that culture. Because table fellowship, for instance, was one of the most significant social constructs, particularly in those who frequent in the synagogue. Table fellowship was very significant. Some could argue that table fellowship was one of the most significant social acts in Jesus' day, especially those practicing the Torah and trying to live out the Torah. Because table fellowship was with who you identified with. It was the people you said you did life with. These Pharisees watching outside the house take even more issue because he is now eating with them, which is another big thing with table fellowship. Jesus is frustrating the teaching of table fellowship. See, these pastors, the Pharisees, were just like pastors of that day. On Sunday or Saturday in the synagogue, even taught you not to eat with certain people, particularly those considered to be the worst of the sinners, ones who were notorious for their sins. Table fellowship was done with the people you identified with. It spoke volumes of who was in your life and who was out of your life. Jesus comes and wreaks havoc on the social habits and traditions because Jesus is sharing table fellowship with those the Pharisees specifically taught to avoid. So what is Jesus doing here? Some like to preach messages and say that Jesus is this crazy rebel, so we should be crazy and rebellious too. Or is Jesus just trying to make a statement? And isn't Jesus awesome? He even preaches with his posture. The way he sits will speak to you if you let it. So what's the big idea? The big idea is that we live, love, and look like Jesus. This is our motto here at Mossy Rock Youth. We just went through a series that was called Live, Love, and Look Like Jesus. And that is the whole big idea of this whole message, really, is to live, love, and look like Jesus. But we're here. Sorry, this is actually the message, Love Like Jesus. But it is to live, love, and look like Jesus. And I was reading this passage the other day, and it challenged me with this question. Have you ever allowed any exclusion in your life? Have you ever allowed any exclusion? And you're probably wondering, well, what do you mean? And I'm talking about being a Jesus follower. The crazy thing about Jesus is that the people that you and I talk bad about or have opinions about, Jesus would love to eat with those people. Jesus would love to share table fellowship with them. You see, the Jesus that we sing and pray to would love to spend time with them. So, what is the posture of your life? What is the posture of your life? Culture says to be strong or don't let anyone see your weakness, that you're in pain. Don't give anyone an inch, and if anyone questions you, you stand up and you fight back. But if we look at the posture of Jesus, it's not a posture of superiority. It's a posture of approachability. And as Jesus followers, are we being approachable? Jesus ate and reclined with these sinners, and there was no record of him actually teaching them a sermon. There's no record of the Torah specifically being taught, but he simply shared a meal with them. See, Jesus forms a community not by teaching, but by relating. That's how a community starts, when a group of people are willing to go through life together and then move forward from there. You see, the church body here is where we do the teaching and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with going and teaching someone, but you don't just go up to someone you've never met and start just teaching them about how they should live and, you know, all this stuff. And that's really condemning and judgmental. Jesus is giving us an example of when he meets these people, he just simply shares a meal with them. He eats with them. He shares his life with them. He does life with them, caring for them. So, you know what the church is famous for? It's telling people how to live, how to feel, how to act, and how to think. That's what we're famous for. What we're not famous for is listening to the pain and problems people are going through. We are afraid of being uncomfortable. Thanks, Jared. We're afraid of being uncomfortable. I don't like being uncomfortable either. I'm extremely uncomfortable speaking in front of you. Not like because you make me feel uncomfortable, just because it's new and it's different. And naturally, as humans, we don't like that. We don't like change. We like our daily routine. We're afraid of being uncomfortable. But if we look throughout Scripture, if you were a follower of Jesus, uncomfortability was totally normal. That's a made-up word. It's called Webster. Add it to dictionary. Uncomfortability. Being uncomfortable. That was normal. You don't ever see the disciples. I mean, the disciples were imprisoned and they were beaten. Their flesh was ripped from their body just for following Jesus, and yet they were still joyful in the midst of it. So let's get back to the passage. Naturally, the Pharisees would say, why to Jesus? Why is he doing what he is doing? And Jesus' response was Matthew 9, verse 12, which says, but when he heard it, he said, those who have no need for a physician, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. It sounds nice and great, but really listen to what Jesus is saying there. When he says those who are well, he's saying those who are cured. And in that moment, he was talking to the Pharisees, because the Pharisees often talked like they were cured, talked like there was nothing wrong, that everything was wrong with the world and not with them. And there's no such thing as cured people. I want you to realize that there's no such thing as cured people. There is forgiven people, but not cured. We can't be cured of our sin and our human nature, our sinful nature. But we can be forgiven. As a community, we are all, every single one in here is a work in progress. Each one of us on our own journey, but let's not get fooled into thinking that we're cured, that we're perfect. These Pharisees pretended to be cured and pretended like they didn't see room for growth or development in their life. But Jesus is saying that he wants sick people. Jesus wants sick people. And when he says sick people, he does mean everyone. Because how many of you know that we serve a God who is inclusive and not exclusive? We serve a God who is inclusive and not exclusive. He is telling these pastors that they are uncured and then act cured. And that's not what Jesus is about. So let's listen to what he says next in verse 13. He says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. It says, I desire mercy, which is a synonym with compassion. In other words, he is saying, I desire that you feel the feelings of others. That you feel the feelings of others. He goes on to say, and not sacrifice, which is to say, don't just go and fill your requirements at the synagogue, or don't just show up to church on a Sunday morning and keep doing your same old routine. He is talking to the pastors and priests now, saying that you have replaced the love of God with your synagogue teaching. You've replaced the love of God with your synagogue teaching. And coming to church on Sunday and reading your Bible is fantastic. It's great. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But if we don't live out the things that we're reading or we're being taught, and what Jesus is saying or God is saying to you, then what's the point? What's the point of what we're doing here? There really isn't, except for this is like a social group for you or something, and you like to be encouraged. And I hope that this challenges you. What is the point if we're not living out what we're reading in Scripture and what God is saying to us? Following Jesus takes compassion. Following Jesus takes compassion. This is kind of where I'm going to wrap up here a little bit, and we are definitely going to get out early. Go, Pastor Kyler. All right. So following Jesus takes compassion. And you're probably wondering, how do I learn compassion? And I could teach you for like weeks, every week, what compassion is and how you should do it. But you'll never learn unless you go out and learn it. That's just the reality of it. You have to go out and you have to learn compassion. You have to practice compassion. C.S. Lewis says this, and I love it. He says, if you can't love people, at least practice it. If you can't love people, at least practice it. Try going and loving someone. Try going and loving someone. Invite them over to your house. Be uncomfortable for an evening and change someone's life. My prayer is that as a community, we care for one another. We value, we protect, we cherish and love one another. We love like Jesus did, which was, for him, it was sharing a meal. It's being inclusive and not exclusive. And that's actually all I have for you. So we're going to pray, and then we can actually get out. We can hang out for a while if you want. I'm cool with that. I'd love to meet more of you if I haven't met you yet. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Let's remember to love like Jesus today. Jesus, we thank you for this body of believers. We thank you that we can come together and just worship you freely. Come together and learn about you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus, and all that he did for us, Lord. I pray that as we leave this place, we would love like you, Jesus. We would be uncomfortable for you, Lord. We wouldn't be afraid of that, that we would be approachable, Jesus, that we would be inclusive and not exclusive, Jesus. I pray that we'd be challenged just to invite someone over. Maybe that's someone that nobody wants, Jesus. I pray that the people in here, Jesus, truly have a compassion for this community in Mossy Rock, Lord. I pray that you would just show us how to continue to live a life of love. And we just thank you, Jesus, in your mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday. We're only 20 minutes early, but hey, you can go catch a nap or something. That's what I'm going to do. Thank you, guys. Love you. Sure.